Siren Radio.
So safe, we decided to actually give it a few extra seconds just to settle down and relax on the whole system. So this is it, gentlemen. We are launching into a whole new season, the 2019 season of programmes for the Midweek Drive. Always very exciting when we actually start working through that, because there's always the great anticipation in terms of what will the first ident be that he's going to play. Well, it's going to be this one.
William Coles, romantic novelist, political journalist and regular Midweek Drive correspondent from the capital of Scotland, with or without his prehistoric shark's teeth.
And suddenly all of that auld lang syning makes so much sense, particularly as we can acknowledge the fact that in a matter of 2 weeks from now, we'll be approaching Burns Night on the 25th of January, in which the haggises will be out, no doubt, and you'll be celebrating that in your own unique Anglophile Scottish living way, William.
Yes, indeed we will. We'll be presenting the haggis, carving it up, having the mashed taters and the neeps. And do you know why it's become Scotland's national dish? Because it's one of the few things you can eat without any teeth.
Yeah, well, is that because they've used them all up in terms of their poor diet and quid and reliance on deep-fried Mars bars and so on?
Well, yes, I'm afraid they're famous for having the worst teeth in Europe. And so these... You've got the mashed potato and the mashed turnips and the haggis. You can eat it all with a spoon, basically.
We should never underestimate the importance of good dental hygiene. It's essential, and it works through that whole process. But having said that, I mean, let's try Ben from Brighton, of course. Ben, haggis, sheep's stomach. Ever considered it? Ever sort of said, yeah, that's what I really want. My life will be complete.
Oh, I really want to try it. I haven't tried it yet. I went to Edinburgh back in May, so a few months ago. Several months ago now. But, I really wanted to try it and didn't try it then, regrettably.
Well, I mean, I suppose we could technically. I mean, we are talking about springtime in Edinburgh as a location report, seeing that whole system there. So, you know, who knows? If you wish to join us on that basis, who knows what delightful things will happen.
I mean, I'm all up for my Mars bar and my my haggis, my bit of mince. I want to try it, but haven't yet.
Well, it's a way forward. What was your first reaction when you were given the haggis to try? Or was it just a case of, you're a Sassenach, you won't appreciate it?
I like it. I've been eating haggis for a long time. Yeah, it's great. You don't want to have it too often, and it's best if you drown it in whiskey. But, every 2-3 months, it's great.
Excellent. As we mentioned, Sir Ranulph Fiennes will be talking about his travel adventures, because it would seem that in terms of making those journeys, and let's face it, Bill, you are one of the experts when it comes to those whole new adventures, that the Northern Lights are very popular with the over 55s in terms of places people should actually go and see, together with the Taj Mahal and various Indian temples as well. I mean, does that surprise you at all? I mean, Saga Holidays has actually conducted this particular survey, or is it something of a line of saying, well, I knew that secretly the Northern Lights was always critical. Have you seen them yourself, William?
I've seen a little. Occasionally in Scotland, if it's right, you can see a little glimpse of them. But I haven't seen the. I haven't had the full treat that you get if you go up to Tromsø in Norway.
And likewise, Ben, ever seen the Northern Lights?
No, I haven't. The Aurora Borealis, I think, is the official line. Exactly. But I haven't seen it. Again, along with, you know, Mars bars and haggis, it's something else I do need to... We need to wrap it up into one trip, don't we, really?
Yeah, but you can't rush these things. You know, you've got to sort of... There's a lifetime of opportunity for that.
It can be a Scottish package.
Yeah, actually, it is time, because I'm figuring if we don't get into Scotland before the borders come down, if actually we'll have all sorts of visas, regulations and so on, we won't be allowed back
There'll be an extra VAT on haggis and...
Just don't know where we're going with respect to
import taxes.
From the department of, I never thought they'd actually feature that, we're going across to Ireland to speak to Simon Leyland as well, whose latest opus has literally just been published, William. And I know that you'll be particularly fascinated to find that it is entitled A Splendidly Smutty Dictionary of Sex. I would have thought so. Now, one of the things which caught my eye, amongst many, in the alphabeticised guide to this, was the notion of M for Maigret. That's M for Maigret, before we actually go any further. Georges Simenon. Have you ever encountered the Belgian writer and indeed creator of Inspector Maigret before, William?
I know a little bit. I didn't know that Maigret was getting stuck into splendid sex. Tell me all about it.
Well, in this particular aspect, apparently, in between writing nearly 500 novels, that's Georges Simenon, because obviously Maigret himself, fictional character, he might well have written novels in a Delta dimension, but he was the creator of Georges Simenon. Maigret's creator, Georges Simenon, found time to have relations, well, let's say it, sex, with 10,000 women. Sorry. Now, let's do the mathematics of this. 55 years, on average, of, shall we say, libido activity. That effectively would, according to the author here, mean 10,000 divided by 55 equal to 181 ladies a year, or nearly 3.5 ladies a week, every week, non-stop. That's romantic literature for you, William.
I don't know about romantic. That's hard going.
Well, his wife, his second wife, effectively, Régine Ronchon, suggested that the figure was a more believable 1,200.
So, and his slight wife, contrast. His wife, just a little bit.
Apparently, Simenon died at the age of 86 after decades of heavy pipe smoking, but maintains that actually it was his libido that effectively kept him going from that point of view.
Yeah. All right, okay, fine.
Just raise
so smoking does not kill, it seems.
Listen, the views of some of our correspondents are not meant to contradict any of the views of medical experts around the country in any way, shape or form, countries or otherwise. I did like the line that he's also included, which we will actually refer to. Noel Coward telephoned Simenon. Actually, his response was that Simenon was not taking any calls until he'd actually finished writing his latest book, to which Coward says, "I'll hang on then."
So, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Are you actually interviewing Ranulph live? Because there's a question I've always wanted to ask him.
Oh, it's a pre-record. But ask the question, because he probably will be on in the very near future again. So,
okay, well, the question, right, okay. Then what I wanted to know is, he seems to be one of these guys who's only going to be happy if he actually dies in the middle of some hellish adventure like Scott of the Antarctic.
Well, that's an interesting
point.
Did
you ask him that?
We skirt around it, because normally it doesn't really fit those last two questions, does it, basically? You know, have you had a recently interesting telephonic link, and are you intending to die on a great adventure? Doesn't, for me, have the positivity
and
that
will
I feel.
You be not joining us again?
Exactly.
It doesn't really
Oh, will
close,
it be a case
it?
Of tapping the table? Will it be any way, shape or form? So we have to sort of maintain a certain sort of routine for
okay,
that. Sorry, but in the same way as with a splendidly smutty dictionary of sex, there are certain things we just can't touch in any way, shape or form, not on the show or on broadcast radio or indeed broadcast media. Taryn Kay is joining us. Now, Taryn has not been part of the programme actually since possibly the turn of the century. It's that long since Taryn Kay has actually last been with us. She sent me an email asking, was I still alive? Because she Googled me. I said yes. At least I think I am. At least was when I last checked. A professional actress, presenter, singer and dancer, performed at the London Palladium in 2017 as one of the Dougie Squires Generation Dancers for the Vera Lynn 100 tribute. And indeed, recently hosted the prestigious London Hair and Beauty Awards. She's a regular on QVC, demonstrating and talking about the no-no.
A no-no?
I just knew her when she was Princess Buttercup in a pantomime at the Billingham Forum Theatre, but it just goes to show. We'll be also joined by Rachel Teat, who is just about to start psyching herself up for some tap dancing masterclasses, and of course the return of Phil Learness. That should surely be a reason to actually stay tuned. But meanwhile, the world is waiting to find out, William, how your screenplay is coming on, and are you gripped by the award season, which doubtless tomorrow Richard Fitzwilliams will be generally talking about in terms of the shock Golden Globes winning British actors and teams?
I don't know if gripped is the word. I was slightly surprised that Beamy and Rhapsody picked up a Golden Globe. Yeah, we quite like the Oscars, don't we? I mean, I'm obviously right down the bottom of the food chain at the moment, but I scribble away with my screenplays, and do not worry, one day one of them will get traction.
Of course, because there is no doubt, purely and simply because you're a midweek drive et, and as a result of that, it's a win-win situation. Incidentally, Ben, what have you done with your midweek drive calendar?
It is in my flat in Lincoln at this moment in time.
Very good. Right.
Speaking pride and place.
Just, I mean, because they're such as, I'd just like to check that they're also there, that they've got a good home there. when we send them out there.
It has a good home.
Very good. That's very important. Now, would you like to ask William Coles if he's still alive and will actually sort of be back with us again or not in the near future? Off you go.
William, have you enjoyed your 10 front loop with us today?
I've loved it. Thank you so much for asking, Ben.
And will you again join us again soon? Hopefully alive.
Yes, hopefully alive, yes. Thank you.
No,
even if I'm not alive, I'll still be joining you.
And if not, we'll get Ranulf to say some words for you.
Exactly. It's the way forward. Always, always keep going forward. We will always be together in Electric Dreams. Won't we, Eva MacDonald?
Yes,
there we are. Yes, Eva has returned. The reason Eva was not tardy, or even TARDISy in a kind of Doctor Who sense, everything was on time, sorted through. But then, of course, challenge, getting to the Siren Studios, road closures.
The road was closed at the end, so I was early, but unfortunately, I had to go the long way round.
Exactly. Which, curiously, what we were talking about, Ben, it's a wonderful way that we have here at Siren Radio, part of the University of Lincoln.
It's a unique selling point of Lincoln, I'd like to think.
Yes, try and work your way through and negotiate your way through the whole system. Eva, I didn't think you might have parachuted in. That was a possibility, I suppose.
I don't really want to try parachuting,
really.
I mean, I did consider it once, but I think it would be rather dangerous and a bit scary.
Okay. Well, there we are. And I had it all planned. Eva was going to do that tandem parachute jump in the summer.
Oh,
anyway,
maybe. It's, one day.
It's a different line entirely. Anyway, did you have a reasonable festive period, and how was the entertaining that you did in the joys of, I was going to say Froome, that's not Froome at all, Roomba,
no,
Roomba. Aruba?
No, the park's called Ruda. It was Croydon, Devon.
Croydon, Devon. Mm-hmm. How was Ruda in Croydon, Devon?
It was very nice, thank you. It was very crazy, very energetic, very different to what I usually do with Christmas Day and New Year's Day.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very enjoyable.
Right.
Very enjoyable.
So, happy memories?
Happy memories.
There is a sense, really, that people there were going to be entertained, and clearly, you know, you're sacrificing your own connections with that. So, you know, just talk us through.
Yeah. It's weird because you're, like, working on Christmas Day.
Hmm.
It doesn't really, it's not really working. It's a very festive atmosphere.
Hmm.
It's very enjoyable and very upbeat.
Well, and is there something you're looking to repeat? Because, I mean, clearly with pantomime and various other factors coming up, this could be a regular thing, really, that you don't, a bit like working for the health service, you never get the chance to actually sort of, you know, do that individual thing. You make that sacrifice for the benefit of society.
You do. It's a, as you say, a sacrificial job.
But
you do it if you like it and love it.
I mean, what can you say, Ben? You know, the woman's made sort of that kind of... It's fantastic.
Yes, yeah. It is. I probably have to do it myself.
Yeah, it's very energetic.
So what sort of things were you doing? Was it sing songs? Was it?
No, with this it was literally just helping on the entertainment team because it was Christmas.
Mm.
So you're just helping out with the game shows, presenting, daytime activities, and then the New Year's activities on the stage as well. It was very different to the seasonal job.
Hmm.
But
did you get a chance to sing?
No, because
it's just teamwork
for the Christmas period.
Well, Eva, you survived it. That's the important thing. And you're back with the Midweek Drive, so that's all fantastic stuff. And
that's even better.
Exactly. Good
of
things
course.
Will manifest. Here's your ident.
Singer, scholar, festival ambassador, and Midweek Drivette. It's Eva MacDonald on the Midweek Drive.
Excellent. I think it says it all. So we'll probably move Sir Ranulph Fine up in the schedule slightly. He'll come up in a few seconds from now. Eva, do you have a particular record or tune you'd like us to welcome you back with?
Oh, my goodness, there's loads. Do you know what? I'm really into Queen at the moment.
Right.
I mean, isn't everybody? So anything with Queen.
So the award-winning Queen Bohemian Rhapsody is something which has worked through that, as opposed to The Queen, obviously, which is a different line entirely. When you say anything, could we actually go for the Flash Gordon theme from Queen?
You could do.
Queen, of course.
Oh, Killer Queen.
Killer Queen.
Like that tune, yes.
Killer Queen by Queen. Somehow, strangely
Queen
awesome.
Squared.
Queen Squared.
She keeps a Moët Chandon in a pretty cabinet. Anthony Cake, she says, just like Marie Antoinette. A building a remedy for Khrushchev and Kennedy. And at a time of limitation, you can't. She's a killer queen, gunpowder and gelatine, dynamite with a laser beam, guaranteed to blow your mind. Recommended at the price, insatiable and appetite. Wanna try? She never kept the same address. In conversation, she spoke just like a baroness. Middleman from China went down to gauge your mind. Then again, incidentally, you that way. Love you came naturally from Paris. Naturally. Because she couldn't care less. Fastidious and precise. She's a killer queen. Gunpowder, gelatine. Dynamite with a laser beam. Guaranteed to blow your mind. Thank you. of action, temporarily out of
that's time. That's absolutely right.
She's
trying
to get you. She's a killer.
Travelling, all adventurous things which actually, no matter how chronologically gifted one might be or experientially enhanced, it's time to actually take that opportunity to actually go and really enjoy life. And who better to talk about enjoying life and indeed holiday opportunities and adventurers and so on than two fabulous individuals. First of all, the awesome, genuine, living legend that is explorer extraordinaire Sir Ranulph Fine. How are you, Sir Ranulph?
Very good morning, James. Very good morning.
Excellent. And the equally wonderful managing director of Saga, that'd be the fabulous Maria Whiteman. How are you, Maria?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. Now, this Saga survey that is very much focusing on, as I say, the chronologically gifted, the over 50s and so on, suggests that actually we're quite adventurous as we begin to go through this whole system. I mean, were you surprised by the kind of findings, or do you think, yeah, I always thought Northern Lights would be at the top of the list?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised. I know our customers really well, and they are very adventurous. They always, if you look at the survey, nearly three quarters said they would choose a country with one of the natural wonders. And as you said, the Northern Lights is always top of the list.
Now, the word Renaissance man springs to mind whenever I think of your good self, Sir Ranulph. Not only a writer, a poet, British explorer, holder of several endurance records. Were you surprised by some of the findings here in terms of the ways in which people were heading off to explore Roman ruins, the Taj Mahal, or indeed go dolphin watching?
I haven't personally been dolphin watching yet. I've done plenty of helicopters over very wild areas, and it's a wonderful way of looking at them without having to go into them. And I do find that if I'm doing maybe a cruise, an adventure cruise or whatever, and meet people, very often you find they're getting on really well with each other. They're all over 50, maybe over 55, going on 95 even. And on cruises and holidays together, they click and they make friendships that they wouldn't otherwise make. They're in together with fascination of new and interesting places, whether it involves helicopters, dolphins, or Northern Lights, or the Taj Mahal, or the Giant's Causeway, or whatever, in places even like Croatia and Egypt. And they see wonderful, weird things. And we don't always just go on expeditions to beat the enemy. I mean, the Norwegian rivals, we do call them enemy. And we also, every now and again, you know, family-wise, go to these really interesting spots. And in August last year in Egypt, in the tombs, you know, inside the pyramids, this sort of thing. And you might be over 55, but it is absolutely fascinating. And you can, as people do, as we find in research, they afterwards become very good friends with people they've met on these expedition holidays.
Do you feel, Sir Ranulph, that people become more adventurous when they actually are on holiday? Is it something about being on holiday that sets up a mindset that says, OK, let's go for this now?
Yeah, and they become more perceptive. I mean, in their normal travel around London or Yorkshire or wherever they have their job or their normal shopping and their routine, they're probably, you know, thinking domestically. They're not noticing people that they go past and so on. And when they get to new places, they become much more perceptive, and the memories they get from it can be shared much more with other people that they've met. Making friends is just, to me, the most important thing of adventure holidays.
Maria, it does seem as though as we're heading to the third decade of the 21st century, people are becoming more adventurous. Is that something which is coming across very much with Saga Travel? Do you say that actually, yes, it's never too late to actually decide? I mean, as Sir Ranulph said, the people over in their 90s still exploring and finding exciting adventures to go on.
Yeah, it's definitely the case. I mean, we have a lot of customers that travel 4, 5, 6 times a year with us. And as soon as we bring out a new tour, you know, it books up straight away. They just want to go to different places. It's almost like they have their tick list every year of the countries they're gonna visit, which is obviously great for us. I had an email this morning from a customer who has been off to the Galapagos. She's been to Brazil. She's going back to Mauritius, actually, interestingly, following up on the point that Saranov mentioned. She met friends there 10 years ago, and she's now going back to stay with them. So it just shows, you know, it's great for them, and they're travelling all over the place.
I'm still staggered, Saranov, by the fact that at age 65 in 2009, you climbed to the summit of Mount Everest. What is it that motivates yourself to actually maintain that excitement and drive to explore new frontiers and so on?
Well, in that particular case, it was on my third attempt. I tried from Tibet.
But you got there. That's the important thing. You got there.
Yeah, I did. But the first attempt had a heart attack at 28,500 feet above sea level, which was a bad timing. So I didn't get up from Tibet. So I tried on the easy side, which is Nepal. And even just approaching the base camp, which lots of people do when they're over 50, lots of people don't get there. But, you know, it's a wonderful experience. You might only be in the base camp, but you're going up from a very interesting area from Kathmandu and so on. And I would advise over 50, don't limit yourself to boring stuff. Really go for it. And Saga's an excellent way of doing that.
And Maria, allowing for the fact that we're not necessarily saying you should scale Mount Everest from that point of view, I think it's fair to say that you've got a mixture of activities there. We mentioned, obviously, Northern Lights and dolphin watching being very popular, exploring Roman ruins, of course, and indeed the Giant's Causeway and the South African Rovos Railway all come to the fore here.
Yeah, there's some of our popular trips. We also have a lot of small ship sailing over in Croatia and Greece, and that's one of our top sellers. So a lot of the customers like to go and visit all the different islands. They go swimming in the sea. So there's a whole range of different activities and different experiences which the customers love.
They do say, of course, that travel broadens the mind, Saranov. Is that something which, in your own experience, it's very much been the case that, you know, the more we actually learn about different cultures, different environments and so on, the more we realise we are just one species on one planet and we need to look after each other?
That's very right. We're all one species, but we're in so many different interesting types and countries that going on adventure holidays is hugely worthwhile. And not just because you, as I said, become more perceptive, but because you make so many new friends and you learn about different cultures, you taste different foods when you get there, or drinkables as well, fire water. No, I would say that there's nothing like it. And the older you get, the more it's worthwhile doing.
Presumably travel.saga.co.uk, Maria, is the best website to go to find out further information about this.
Yeah, or just saga.co.uk, you can get to the travel section really easily.
Excellent. Well, it's been awesome sharing some thoughts with your good selves this morning. Actually, Maria, where's your most adventurous piece going? Because we've talked with Saranov there about, obviously, Everest and so on. What about your own point of view?
Actually, I'm now Saga age as well. I'm in my 50s, but I'm a big active person. I'm a big skier. So a lot of my holidays are skiing off-piste and on-piste. And also Canada. I had some wonderful holidays seeing the bears over in Canada and zip-wiring and so on.
Well, there we are. It just shows that keep on going. That's the important thing. Maria Whiteman, Managing Director of Saga Travel and Explorer Extraordinaire Saranov Fiennes, OBE, of course. Many thanks indeed. And hopefully we'll speak again with more travel tales.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks. There we are. Maria Whiteman and Saranov Fiennes there, doing their thing, as is their wont, really. Now, if I were to utter the Latin phrase, spero mater mea non legatur hanc, it comes across as, I hope my mother doesn't read this. If I then went on to actually lead in with Esne volumen in toga and solum tibi libit me videre, is that a scroll in your toga or are you just pleased to see me? I'd probably think it's a carry-on movie. It's not. It's Simon Leyland, full-time writer and journalist based in Connemara, Ireland. Simon, welcome to the Midweek Drive. How are you, sir?
Oh, very well, very well. What a lovely introduction. Thank you.
Well, when you've actually produced A Curious Guide to London and you've got poetry collections, Codes for Living Quietly, The Language of Exiles and the ultimate Ramblings of an Unkempt Man, what better way to actually launch the recently published, in fact, is it recently? It's published yesterday. Yesterday, literally. Yeah. It's 24 hours after giving birth to a splendidly smutty Dictionary of Sex. Unbelievable. Talk to us about this particular aspect, because I've had a perusal through this. I've read a whole range of things that I actually say alphabetically. There are so many sort of areas that we could actually go. I mean, Eva, give me a letter of the alphabet, please.
I'm going to go with L.
You're going to go for L.
L.
Okay, well, we'll ride up to L. We've got L for lavender, L for libido, L for location. Any other?
Location.
Location. Good choice. Location. I think this could be a good choice, etc. Because particularly interesting, because from the Ananga Ranga of Kalyanamala, Stage of the Love God, written in the 16th century, advice to never ever have intimacy in these particular areas. Never in the presence of a holy man, a respectable old person or a great man. Never by rivers or streams, never next to wells, never next to temples, never next to forts or castles, never in someone else's house, never in forests or meadows, never in cemeteries. And the consequences, if you avoid that rule, would be disastrous. Breeding misfortune, and if any children were begotten, they would turn out to be bad and malicious. Extraordinary. I mean, there's also the lifelong love, sex, healthy sex and marriage, Rennie McAndrew 1928 scenario, which is a whole range of things there. What led you to this, please, Simon? Because, you know, clearly when the invitation came through, he said, let's talk about the exploration of the wonderfully weird world of history of sex, etc. It is one of those things where, being British, of course, we think, we can't talk about that on the radio. Shh.
Well, that's actually... That's so interesting. You just mentioned that because
have you gone? Have you left us, Simon?
Euphemisms.
Yeah. Sorry, we lost you momentarily there.
I beg your pardon. we Brits are renowned for euphemisms, innuendo. We never actually say what it is, and as a result, it's like a carry-on film, I suppose.
Well,
so I wanted to look at that.
Yeah. I mean, as you say in terms of the home, I mean, sex is the world's most Googled topic. I don't know what it says about human rights from that point of view. Humans are clearly, I mean, we wouldn't be here, let's face it. I know, it's difficult. Our parents have actually, no, don't. But it's changed, it's worked through that whole process. I dare ask you why you should never trust a woman with an onion in her handbag, frankly. Because, I mean, I'm sorry. It's just...
Well, that's interesting, in as much that... you know the Hippocratic Oath, Hippocrates, the father of medicine. He was a remarkable man. He was ahead of his time in many, many things, but also well wide of the mark in others. This was the equivalent of an NHS pregnancy test. Basically, the lady went to bed with an onion, put the onion in her lady bits, and in the morning, if her breath smelt of onions, she was in fact with child.
I mean. Sorry, pull myself together. You know, I mean, there are clearly sort of issues. I mean, Ben, any thoughts?
It's fascinating how sort of old sort of ways work. I think it's always stories like that. That's, I mean, you laugh now, but if it worked, then that's what people believed. I think that was their version of science, or more. I don't know. It's not really superstition. It's more just the fact that they're following something that was. Well, working for them back then, but
exactly.
Yeah, I always find it fascinating, though. There's always stories like that. I can't think of any examples off the top of my head, but they're always interesting to sort of compare notes from now to how it was, I'd say, in old times.
I mean, there are lots of anthropologists who actually take a whole range of sort of areas and analyses of this side of things. I mean, I think you've taken an interesting look on this one, Simon. Was it something which, out of interest, you thought, yes, that's what I really want to go through? Was it a case of wanting to shine the light of revelation on this? Or in the case of Nikola Tesla, was it just a case of saying, well, these are celebrity celibates, people who effectively had said, you know, Tesla never married because, in the words of Nikola Tesla, I do not think you can name any great invention made by a married man.
Indeed. Mm. Well, not as the case may be. But sadly, it's a rather boring answer, in as much that part of my sort of day job as a journalist, I was commissioned to write about for an academic magazine. I'm a classicist originally, on a Roman poet, Catullus, and exploring it, I discovered some amazing, extremely bawdy, very, very rude poetry.
Mm.
And I thought, well, hold on a minute, this was not, I'll say, available when doing my studies. So I looked further and discovered a, is a smorgasbord of smut for the last 2,000 years. We've written about it, we've sung about it, painted it, wars have been won and lost over it. It's extraordinary. And also, as you picked up earlier, prudery goes in and out of fashion. And I think we're in an age of prudery now, despite the pornography seemingly everywhere.
Mm.
Strange times.
Okay, okay.
Talking
about pornography, not that we're doing that, but what the hey? I mean,
do you know the word comes from? It's a Greek word.
Is it literally the writings of ladies who are in a business?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, you sort of
elegantly put.
Yes. I mean, that's sort of yes. Because again, back in the day, we would see that actually the notion of actually being paid for it was actually a very respected part for a woman to actually proceed.
It was
sorts of things
there. It was. There was even a religious sect where they were golden prostitutes. People would pay enormous amounts of money to lie with them. That's a nice euphemism.
I think so.
But conversely, the Babylonians, modern-day Iraq, again, probably about 1,500 years ago, part of their society meant that any woman over the age of 18 had to go to this temple and basically wait for a man to choose her and make love to her.
Mm-hmm.
Then she was allowed to go home. And Herodotus wrote about this, and he said, obviously, the pretty ones, the men there, were gone within a few hours. But sadly, some of the plainer ones were there for 4 or 5 years.
Hence left on the shelf, yeah. Presumably.
Indeed. They thought virginity or the deflowering of virgin was very dangerous, and they'd rather a stranger do it than their future husband.
Mm. Simon, if you'd be kind enough to stay with us, I still want to actually find out why Catholic popes actually had parts of their anatomy felt, and indeed the way in which we can go back to the year 400 AD and find out how you can actually keep a woman faithful by using a lizard tail. These are critical sort of aspects, which I'm sure Ben will sort of be well worth noting down from that point of view.
Mm.
meanwhile, to take us round to that, Kings of Leon. Kings of Leon, Sex on Fire. I don't know why we played that. Still, but hey, we are speaking to the author of a splendidly smutty dictionary of sex, published, of course, by Deep Desires Press, online, available from all good bookstores and so on and so forth. And you've been having a little perusal, Eva and Ben, of the sort of e-version of the whole thing. Anything that's caught your eye that we can broadcast at this particular stage that you'd like to ask Simon about and so on?
Well, not necessarily in the text itself, but I was wondering, we discussed it very briefly off air, but, you know, the topic of sex in general, I'd say obviously it's quite a taboo subject in Britain particularly, but I'd say whenever it's explored, would you also find, Simon, that it's either jokingly spoken about or not spoken about at all, as opposed to just having a genuine conversation about it? Do you find that's kind of a traditional thing, or something just in Britain, or a global thing, or, you know, us as humans, you know, I wonder if that's the same experience for you.
I think it's part of our DNA, particularly we Brits, always has been. We have the reputation of sort of prudery. Victorians, for example, everybody associates them with prudery. I mean, yes and no. In Victorian times, apparently, there's more brothels in London than any other time.
It was also very hypocritical in a sense. On the one hand, a kind of a personal thing where you say, cover up that chair leg, it's too suggestive. And yet, on the other hand, you've got a whole range of other issues at work as well. Eva, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, well, going back to it being either human or British, we said it was a British thing, or I touched on that, but actually, because you've just mentioned about the brothels thing, it's kind of always been around. It's more of a human global thing rather than British, definitely.
It depends. Different cultures have different views. Some cultures are far more enlightened than ours. I mean, you're quite right. It goes on all around the world. But some cultures choose not to acknowledge it openly, even though it's there.
Yeah, I suppose with some cultures it's more than others, would you say?
More so than others.
Do you reckon that comes down to a lot to religion as well? So,
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of obviously no sex before marriage rules, but then also in general, sex is generally quite, you know, forbidden.
Again, from the department of, yes, I knew the story was actually out there, but Mahatma Gandhi, for instance, a fine individual, much beloved, great movies, a whole range of other factors, obviously. When in his 30s and father of four children, Mahatma Gandhi decided to take a vow of celibacy, thus giving him more control over his vital fluids, which in turn would enhance his spiritual powers and give him strength during his many bouts of fasting. Mrs. Gandhi's response, when in his 70s, Mahatma Gandhi took to sleeping with naked young women to test his celibacy, is never recorded. There are areas there where you think you almost couldn't make it up. I mean, and Edward Lear, I just found deeply, deeply sad, but never mind.
Yeah. A lot of sad people are unable to probably be what they want to be, is it? Such is life,
la pitié mort, as the French would actually refer to the whole sort of system. But let's not go there. It's been fascinating. You can get a splendidly smutty dictionary of sex if you wish. And it's one of those texts you kind of thought, no, what? Really? Seriously? How much can we say? And so on and so forth. But before you actually go, why did the papacy actually have this testicular fondling going on in all sorts of ways? Please share with us.
Well, it goes back to a fellow called Platina, who wrote a history of the popes, sort of 16th century. And if you remember your history, at one stage there was a schism in the Roman Catholic Church. And there are three popes. There's one in the Vatican, one in the Avignon, and one in, I think, in Turkey somewhere. And during this time, a female pope, Pope Joan, appeared. Mm-hmm. But they didn't know she was female until... Apparently she died giving birth, which was a bit of a giveaway.
Teeny. So, did she have the onion in the right place?
Certainly no onions. They decided from about 1480 onwards, they would basically test all papal nominees to prevent any woman from ascending the throne. Mm. So what they did, they built this, it's called a porphyry chair. It's a throne of purple stone with a hole in the middle. Mm. So when he when the, you know, the white smoke goes up and the Pope appears, yeah. and they pick him up on those that sort of catwalk sedan chair thing. There's a hole in the seat, and one of the bishops or one of the deacons actually has to put his hand up.
Right.
Give it a good poke.
Yeah.
To make sure all as it should be.
You see, when Ian Fleming wrote about something in Casino Royale, when James Bond is actually having that situation, it's a case of his torture, you know? It's not good at all. Exactly. Still, I suppose, if it works, but then again, it also prevents any castrati presumably becoming popes as well, I would have thought, because if he'd actually...
Indeed, you were not allowed to be take the cloth if
you were castrated.
Yeah, or indeed only had one ball.
There you have it. Would have taken out German fascist dictators as well. Never mind, allegedly. Let's move on to the final thing, which is that question that I thought, back in 400 AD, the 5th century, how can you keep a woman faithful, perhaps a man too as well, using a lizard tail?
This is about 400 AD. There's a fellow called Marcellus Impericus. He's one of those guys, supposedly he's a Stephen Fry of his day.
Oh.
He knew everything.
Yes.
He was convinced. Yes, basically, you catch a green lizard with your left hand. You don't cut the tail off of the lizard. Then you would release the lizard and put the tail in your right hand. You then touch the private parts of the woman, and that's it. She'll be faithful for life.
Sorry. Okay, well, I mean, again, we have to
say... Clearly didn't kick on, did it? Something must have gone wrong along the lines.
Have you followed every step of the way, Ben? You know, we'll work on that.
Extensively field tested, I don't think.
They're not no longer endangered, I hope, so...
we hope not.
No.
No. I'm so impressed with this. I think A Curious Guide to London needs to be next up for our next little review, from Petticoat Jewels and Lucky Cats to the Stiff's Express, Lord Nelson. And Spare Nose, The Piccadilly Earthquake, and The Great Beer Flood of 1814. That's also available as well from the awesome Simon Leyland. Simon, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme this evening?
It's been a total pleasure.
Sir, can we look forward to featuring A Curious Guide to London with your good self? Will you be kind enough to return in the very near future?
Yes, I'd love to. That's very kind of you. Thank you.
A round of applause for Simon Leyland, please. That was polite. It's very, sort of very British, I think.
Not very close to
exactly.
And, it is, isn't it?
Meanwhile, back from the days where they actually banned this on BBC Radio 1, I honestly don't know why. Happy trails. always like to say that actually when you're a midweek driver, it's a lifetime commitment in many ways. It's not just a kind of in-out scenario, whether you're Princess Marigold in a pantomime, whether you're indeed the gnome Lady Margaret in the video for the feature film Sherlock Gnomes, whether you're indeed a regular contributor in so many ways to dance and a whole variety of other bits and pieces, a voice artist extraordinaire. And indeed, that's why we're proud to say, Taryn Kay, welcome back to the world of Midweek Drive broadcasting and so on. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Alexius. Yes, good to hear from you.
Now, we go back to the 20th century, don't we?
Yes, we do. About 1990-something.
Yeah, exactly, indeed.
Pantomime, Billingham with Bernie Clifton.
Exactly, and his ostrich.
Yes, that's when he had his ostrich. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Don't worry, it wasn't part of the Slenderly Smutty Dictionary of Sex, Bernie his ostrich. It's not a euphemism. He actually did used to have...
An ostrich.
Yeah, an ostrich, which he... It wasn't a real ostrich, but in many ways it was Bernie's way of dealing.
A bit like Emu, then.
Yes.
The character Emu.
Yes, a bit like Rod Hull and Emu, but slightly nicer. I always thought Bernie's ostrich was slightly nicer than the Emu.
Emu was a bit... Yeah. Bit in your face.
A little bit aggressive, a little bit colonial. You know, well, it wasn't working to do that. Taryn, you've been listening to the programme.
Yes,
does it still maintain the standards it had all those decades ago?
You know what? I think it's got better. Yes, I have to say.
Good heavens.
Yeah, I really do think it's got better. Very interesting. All about the lizards and...
Exactly.
I know there have been interesting topics today.
It's not usually that interesting.
I beg to differ. I like to feel that we work very hard to ensure that you have an interest level that opens up in all sorts of ways.
Well, it's not often we encounter the sex topic, is it? On the show. I mean, in the last few years I've done this, it's not probably the first time we've...
Well, you see...
I don't think I ever have.
Done it.
There you go.
But at the same time, there have been lots of other happening things as well at the same time. And Taryn, you have been extraordinarily busy since we last spoke, obviously doing a whole stack of things, commercials galore. Currently, actually, can be seen in the DeLonghi coffee machine commercial.
And British Seniors, over 50s life insurance. That's on if you watch Channel 5 or Channel 4, and sometimes on ITV, just normal ITV, you'll see me on that. But it's normally daytime television. So... British Seniors, and also Revite with Sir Ian Botham. I'm doing featured in that one as well. So it's been incredibly busy, especially last year. So it's been good.
Well, effectively, we're going to have Ben comment on the DeLonghi ad, which actually, Kirk's your Facebook page is actually up and running now.
Oh, is it?
Ben, would you like to actually say, there's Taryn looking very... I mean, I think that's a really good way of actually demonstrating that you're impressed with that particular cup of coffee. That's actually
Was it a good cup of coffee? That's what we need to know.
It was a smashing cup of coffee, and I have to say the difficult bit was I was not meant to get a little moustache with the froth, and I have to say that I think I achieved that because the French girl, or whatever she was, or she might be an Italian, did one before me, and she ended up with a little moustache.
Typical.
And I didn't like
typical.
That.
Yeah. And that's yet another reason why clearly sometimes separating from our European cousins without that frothy moustache.
So was it one take, or were there multiple takes?
No, they did quite a few. They did quite a few of that one, and I did I did get a little moustache, so that one was obviously in the book.
Although I don't know, in these gender non-specific days, perhaps Taryn with a moustache could be actually opening up a whole new area of opportunity.
Yeah, I don't think they would have liked that though.
So. I don't think the froth would look normal.
Right.
Really?
Right. Yeah, but the UK people didn't want to buy it. They wanted a cleaner image. So there you go.
It's the way forward. Now, the other thing was regularly seen on QVC, demonstrating and talking about the no-no.
The no-no, yes. Oh, it was great. I kept shaving my armpits, and as my friend said, I bet Dame Judi Dench wouldn't do that on television. She's and it's true. She probably wouldn't. But anyway, I shaved my armpits, and it worked great. Yeah, for an hour, I shaved my armpits, my legs, and you name it. Peach fuzz, and that's not what you think. I'm not going back to that second.
No, of course not. Of course not. Yeah.
That's your peach fuzz. Again, we're going back to the frothy coffee. That bit around there is called peach fuzz. And you can put your no-no around there to remove your hair above your lip.
I feel as though we've lifted the general level just several notches higher. Eva, any questions about the no-no or more?
I'm happy to answer those. Yeah. Yep. What anybody wants to say?
What is the no-no?
Yeah,
no-no.
Just, Just tell us what the no-no is, really.
Oh, you don't know what the no-no is? Oh, my goodness. Okay, the no-no is like a little machine, and it works on a thermal technology, which actually, as you push it along your... It heats up, basically. And as you roll it along your thigh or under your armpit or wherever you so desire, not in those rude areas, though.
Of course not.
That, you can't do that because...
Dangerous.
Yeah, you've got to have the skin taut. So it's on like on your legs or on your armpits. And, and you do that, and the thermal technology, I think that's the word for it, it heats up and the hair is removed. And, it's a very good way, and sometimes the hairs don't grow back at all. So that's it. It's quite expensive. It's about over £100 on QVC. Mm. But it did work really well, better than, using a razor, because on a razor...
Dangerous.
Well, it can be dangerous. Yeah, it can be dangerous, and you can often end up with a rash. With this, you didn't end up with a rash at all. So that's the no-no.
Not that we're a commercial station, because we're not, clearly.
No.
But, in terms of, obviously, the sponsorship product side of things, you could have your no-no, you could have your coffee-making machine.
Yes.
Bliss, that's your Easter present sorted. Or any birthday gifts, or the Christmas presents for next year.
Absolutely.
Ben.
Yeah, this is quite a big part of it. How did you get into advertising in particular?
How did I get into it? Oh, just being pushy, I suppose.
Taryn, you were never pushy. You were hyper-professional and wonderful. And that's why you were in the last 26 episodes of Are You Being Served?
Oh, yes.
And a whole stack of other scenarios. I hadn't actually realised that you also had portrayed an older Stacey Solomon talking head in Nevermind the Buzzcocks of 2015.
I did.
Oh, really?
And I have to say, the script came in. It was a minute script, and it came in the night before at about 9:30, and I had to be on set at 8:00 in the morning to deliver it. I had to learn the whole lot in a Stacey Solomon type of way, talk about my tonsillitis and goodness knows what, and I like chocolate and all, and doing all the movements as well. Yeah, so that was an eye-opener.
I can't see the resemblance a tiny bit.
Yeah, we're both from Essex, so
even more of a resemblance then.
Yes,
I met
Herbert, she was in 2044. That's what she would have been like me, a bit loopy.
We've actually managed to successfully actually find you demonstrating the no-no there, and you do it very well.
I think that's
amazing.
I would
buy one, but I'm not worried about hair under the arms, to be honest.
No.
I think it's meant to be targeted men, mainly.
Exactly.
But maybe there are men that use it. There's no saying you can't. But
men can use it on your back if you've got a hairy back, because there's nothing worse than having a hairy back or a hairy chest and it's sticking out from your shirt.
Oh, please.
And, you're talking finance or something. You've got a hairy shirt. Not a hairy shirt. I mean, a hairy finance shirt.
And, Taryn, would you not say that they're quite painful?
No, not at all.
Would you say they're less painful than waxing? Because I know there's different hair removal techniques.
There's no pain at all. It's just a little bit of heat. It just isn't painful whatsoever. I literally sat on the QVC set for an hour just shaving... not shaving, that's the wrong word. No knowing my armpit or no knowing my calves or whatever, there's a bit of hair. So you can just keep doing it over and over again. It's great.
I hesitate to use the word award-winning radio and award-winning broadcasts, but I feel that
we've developed a new verb, haven't we? We have. No knowing is now an official verb.
No, yeah. It will be addressed in full force. Just in case people were wondering that we had forgotten about the lizards, well, of course we hadn't, because we always have this little number.
You're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren FM, guaranteed to keep you safe from giant lizards.
Yeah, quite right, too.
I know.
No, I don't.
It was
appropriate to actually sort of bring it in. We do some thought about this particular production. Next week, Jonathan Lindsley, another soul from times past, will be joining us. It's just wonderful. Now, if you heard the early part of the programme, Taryn, you might have actually heard that Eva was spending the time over Christmas entertaining.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Where were you entertaining?
So, this area was called Croyd, and it's down in Devon.
Oh, yeah.
And it was with Park Dean Resorts. It's a holiday company in the UK.
Oh, right. Well, that sounds nice.
Yeah, it was lovely. It was very different way to spend Christmas Day and New Year's Day.
Yeah, lovely. And were you singing or were you just doing games?
No, I normally do in the season. I normally have a singing spot and a cabaret spot. But this was just generic entertainment just because it was families coming down for Christmas Day. But no, it was really enjoyable. Different way of spending Christmas.
And just looking at Taryn's credits there, Standard Chartered Bank Unconscious Bias video. It's very important, Unconscious Bias. I did actually go on an Unconscious Bias academic training course a year or so ago because it's unconsciously realising that we are unconsciously biased.
That's right, we are.
That's very conscious of you.
Yes, I
thought
I know.
So.
It's a conscious way of talking.
Raised the unconsciousness levels.
Yes.
Pretty Bonnets for Rubber Duck Productions. Yes. I hardly dare ask what respect to it.
Playing nice grandma telling fairy tales to this little girl who was terrified of me.
So lots of makeup then, clearly, for that role.
It was freezing. I did it last November, and we were on one of the coldest nights going, and I looked pretty rough, so I did look like a grandma, to be honest.
We've got the Maltesers Truffles Mother's Day 2019 ads
coming
to look
out,
forward to.
Coming out soon. Yes.
That was nice.
Yes.
And, of course, You Move ITV for the Love of Dogs sponsorship.
Yes. That's out now. I'm just doing the little ident at the end. I come along with a dog, a little Labrador, me and my supposedly husband. And, he comes running after me, the dog. No, he doesn't run after me. He runs in front of me, and that's it. And I give him a U move, and that's it. Yeah, Paul O'Grady's.
You give him a U move.
What's a U move?
it's like a sweetie or a treat with good things in for the joints. For dogs joints. Meant to be very good, actually. Haven't tried it myself, obviously, but I haven't got dogs, so I can't.
No, you can't try everything out from that whole lot of things.
So, Taryn, how do you find, do you get these? Do you have to audition, or does an agent put you forward, or do people approach you directly?
Bit of everything, to be honest. I have an agent who's very, very good. He puts me up for quite a lot. And, on different websites. And sometimes people come and find me, or they might go on my website and have a look. I've now got a little home studio, which I do voiceovers from, so I get busy with that. But a lot of it, it's a bit my agent, bit myself, old contacts coming back, and...
It's all, quite frankly, splendid. The only thing I have to point out is that although you talk about, obviously, much of the radio work you've done, you haven't mentioned Siren Radio, indeed Southside Broadcasting. They should really be pride of place, and that's East Midlands Radio Station of the Year. Certainly adds
right.
that onto the system, because inevitably we need to invite you back on and sort of restore links and connections. You might even be there in London when we get another London location journey around. Because, as we said, you kind of emailed me because you were asked, was I still alive, which is nice.
It was Jonathan Lindsley who played, what did he play, Bruiser or Basher or what did he play?
He was in Last of the Summer Wine. He's got a text from Homeforth to Hollywood. He's gearing up all sorts of things. He's spent time, he's lived in LA for 3 years. He's a full-time carer now. He does a whole range of other bits and pieces. But yes, all great stuff there.
Yeah, well, he texted me and said, have you heard from Alexis? And I said, no, I haven't for a while, actually. Mm. So he said, oh dear. He said, let me know if you find him. Off when I Googled and you kept popping up. I'm going to have to email you now.
Exactly. And that has led to a good 15 minutes of audio magic. Yes, yes. Oh. Not no, no. Yes, yes.
Yes, that's right.
Very much from that point of view. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic return to the Midweek Drive, Taryn Kay?
Smashing time, thank you. Yeah.
So, what do you think, Eva? Would we like to have Taryn back again in the very near future?
Yeah, I think we would do, and it's always nice to have a familiar voice come back.
It's Ben, what do you think?
Oh, it was lovely. We need to have you come back again soon.
So, the question clearly, Taryn, is will you be kind enough to return?
Of course I will.
Right. And musically, are there any particular artists or bands that you'd like us to play for your good self as we move from yourself to Rachel Teat, who is just looking ahead to her tap dancing masterclasses and more?
Okay, well, I like Paloma Faith.
Paloma Faith?
Yeah.
Is she an Essex girl? I wasn't sure whether she was or she wasn't.
I think she might be. She looks like one.
Obviously, cliched lines such as she looks like one, I couldn't dare say in any way, shape, or form.
I can say that because I'm from Essex.
There
not,
we are.
Not rude, you see.
Exactly. White stilettos. Dancing around the handbag.
And a no-no.
The only way, clearly, that you can actually have from that point of view. Are we talking Picking Up the Pieces, Never Tear Us Apart, 30-Minute Love Affair, Only Love Can Hurt Like This?
Only Love Can Hurt Like This.
No messing around.
I like that.
That's it then. Taryn will return. And lovely. Paloma Faith is her reward.
Lovely. Thank you.
care that much, but I feel like I die till I feel your touch.
Which the response might well be just get some suitable ointment, it'll sort it out, no end of problems. Only love can hurt like this, Paloma Faith. You're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren Radio, Lincoln's first community radio station, and the station which is also about to celebrate Career Crossroads Day. That's what tomorrow is, Career Crossroads Day.
Not as in courier.
No, in, not as in
North and
South.
Not as in delivery driver or North and South.
Exactly.
As in carrier.
This nice. No,
that's a
career.
That's a different term. No,
precisely.
Career choices.
There
these,
we go.
These are events careers in which we could clearly actually have, jobs, for 2019, an official North and South Career Day, a Carrier Day, and indeed a Career Crossroads Day. Well, we'll be speaking to the Deputy Chief Executive Officer of Arden University, Victoria Stakelham, about that tomorrow morning. Meanwhile, as promised, on the Midweek Drive, and the best way to actually follow a healthy rationale of Essex phenomenon with the no-no, and of course Taryn, and of course the extraordinarily interesting Simon Leyland. She apparently frightened off Rachel Teat to such an extent that she thought, I can't listen to that. Rachel Teat is back with us. How are you, Rachel?
I'm very well, thank you. It wasn't that I didn't want to listen. It's the fact that I have a 2-year-old who's quite impressionable and copies words. And I did think perhaps some of those words might not be so so good being used at nursery tomorrow.
Fair enough.
I think that's a fair point.
Fair enough.
So, it's interesting. Interesting, yes. What does this mean? And before you know where you are, Rachel sort of held up before the
talking
courts.
Talking about onions.
Exactly, talking about onions. And all sorts of things there. Let's not go down the onion bag route again, please, Ben. Eva and Ben are in the studio. You've yet to make your way to the Siren Studio, of course, Southside Southern Studio, amongst other things. But what have you been getting up to this week, Rachel Teat?
Well, this morning I did some medical role play, which was rather exciting. So it was with some pharmacy students, and they were learning about how to do eye examinations. So I had my pupils, I had spotlight shined in my pupils for a while and had all sorts of ailments wrong with my eyes. And then yesterday I was in lovely London for a few meetings, so that was quite exciting.
Hey,
so,
Rachel, you were in London yesterday. Eva McDonald was in London yesterday.
We were
and
all
today.
In London.
Exactly.
Whoa, yeah.
You
it's all fate.
Precisely. You could have met up in all sorts of ways. I wasn't in London yesterday, but that's okay.
Well, you're not, Alex.
I
did.
I wasn't last week. I suppose, is it?
And there are lots of other things happening in London, including, of course, the joys of, not Scholars Green, the place outside Parliament, but it's getting...
Parliament Square.
Parliament Square, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, wonderful things going on there.
Lots of audience participation. Lots of audience participation.
Yeah, or feedback. I think that's what it probably...
Definitely
problem.
A form
the most
of feedback.
Vague way of saying it.
We're not mentioning the B word, but do you feel, from your own point of view, Rachel, that you're going to be bothered about what happens at the end of March or Theresa May's future? Or is it just a case of, no, I'm an actor, I will therefore actually make the best of whatever life and fate hurls at me?
I think being a self-employed person is probably lends yourself to the whole idea of not knowing what's going to come up next in your life. So I think I'm well and truly prepared for March 29th.
And
that's very positive.
Yeah, it is, actually. She also shares exactly the same birth date as I do, actually. Same birth date.
Yeah.
Very spooky. Yeah, and J.R. Tolkien and John Thor, but that's another line entirely. 3rd of January, in case anybody's interested. It's just a bye for the part. Thank you.
Thank you. Know, we take belated gifts, don't we, Alex?
We always, exactly. Anyway, tap dancing. Eva, yeah. Have you got into tap dancing as yet, or is it an aspect that you haven't developed in your multi-skilled, talented, entertaining ways?
Oh, thank you very much. But no, I don't think I would be a very good tap dancer. I'm not very good at the dancing at all. I used to do Irish dancing, but that went out the window.
Okay. Is that like line dancing with shillelaghs?
Sort of, I suppose. Mm. I suppose you could say that.
Where's me lucky charms? and Ben?
I think PE at school is probably the closest I ever got to actual dancing. I wouldn't even call it dancing. I think it would be an insult to dancing. Or school discos, again. Same line.
So,
exactly
Rachel,
line.
When we spoke to you before Christmas, one of the things was, of course, you were at the tap dancing classes. You have now moved in 2019 into the advanced tap dancing area.
I have. I've stepped up. So next week I'll start tap dancing again. And I was thinking about it today because I thought, oh, goodness, is it tonight? But it obviously it's next week, so I'm very well organised with that respect. But, yeah, I'm a little bit nervous about it. It's kind of like I was quite safe in the other class and I felt like, you know, I was kind of top of the class. I knew what I was doing. I could do it all. And now I feel like, oh, pressure's on. And it's gone from a 45-minute session to a two-hour session. So that's stepping up considerably.
Isn't that endurance tap dancing, then?
I reckon so, yeah.
I mean, it's the same sort of moves, but you just have to do them for a lot longer, twice as long, in fact.
I'm going to have to take sustenance halfway through. I'm going to have to have a banana or something just to keep me going.
Or presumably those water bottles that you can actually throw off the other side of the pitch and do various other bits and pieces. Last Friday.
Not quite done.
No, of course not. Do you remember, Eva, when we made your day by helping you to connect with one of the Chuckle Brothers?
It wasn't the Chuckle Brothers.
No, you worked with Chuckle
that
Brothers.
Dick
and Dom.
Oh, yes, that definitely made my day. I remember that.
You were ticking off Dick and Dom, etc.
Yes.
I think we did the same with Rachel last week when we introduced her to a Strictly Come Dancing. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Can you remember the sports person it was, of course?
Chris Hollins, the gorgeous Chris Hollins. You know what? Afterwards, I was so excited. I told so many people. I think everyone was like, okay,
why not?
I didn't tell anybody because, frankly, I didn't quite share the excitement. But the three of us correctly predicted that Tony Pulis's Middlesbrough would actually beat the awesome Peterborough in the Battle of the Boroughs.
I mean, 5-0, though, was more than we could have hoped, wasn't it?
I don't know, 7-0 against Rotherham was where my heart was from that point of view. But yes, 5-0, a very good score for me. Do you think this is turning the corner, given that Middlesbrough are at home, of course, to Newport County in the next round of the FA Cup?
I think it's a really good sign. I think we'll be going into it with a lot of enthusiasm and excitement and drive from what just happened. I know people will be rooting for the underdog, as we discussed on Friday, but I would like to think that we'll comfortably beat Newport.
Honestly, I think Newport have a lot of momentum behind them. I think, I don't know, they beat Brighton in the FA Cup a few years ago, 3-1 at their home ground, and I'm expecting to see things.
This is at the Riverside, of course.
Yes. We'll have to see.
We talk about Lincoln City clearly as we're based in Lincoln at present, but Lincoln were eliminated by Everton at 2-1. So there we are.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, unfortunately. And Grimsby, of course, lost to Crystal Palace 1-0. But there we are.
That's a very good result for them, though. Very respectable result against Palace, a Premier League team.
Oh. And Liverpool lost to Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Yeah, that was... That was some game to watch.
It was indeed. But we'll talk more about this with Ian Lennox tomorrow when he'll have some of his sporting reflections and thoughts as well as that. Communications, the next sort of little thing I want to briefly talk about with your good self, Rachel. The art of good communications. Apparently some of the most noted bad habits that people fall into whilst speaking are the three S's: style, story and state.
Okay.
Many people have muted voices due to working in open plan offices or having experienced their ideas being rejected.
Oh. Boo.
Have you ever had your idea rejected, Eva?
Do you know what? I can't remember. I can't.
Blocked it out of your memory.
I've blocked it.
Ben?
Yeah, it's been many occasions, but, you know, it's all justified. There's no kind of animosity behind it. Or...
Yeah,
many,
be justified.
Many speakers sway and wander around as they talk to remove nervous energy while distracting the listeners. PowerPoint slides also killing ideas, that's the story, and many people feel anxious because they picture a negative outcome from their meeting. So again, these are the key things why we'll be talking about Richard Newman, the author, of course, of You Were Born to Speak. I mean, as a drama student, a drama graduate, no less, from the University of Northumbria at Newcastle, one of only two of her class of 18, who's actually still working in the business of show. It's because she's good. I mean, name any other. Which class did you, which year did you graduate in, Rachel?
Oh, 2009, I think it was.
Name any other 2009 class of people who are actually on the Midweek Drivers correspondence. Zero, well, apart from Rachel. That's it, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
Message is clearly there. So what about that view in terms of confidence speaking, et cetera? Because in another sort of career change day, you're also about to be starting off stuff at Teesside University, doing a short course in journalism, no less.
I am indeed, in the broadcast side of things. I think... It is. It's like when I speak to younger people who are getting involved in drama, not necessarily for a career, I think it's really important to have those skills because in every walk of life, you have to present things, it would seem. And you kind of, I think the confidence levels, it's very important. I mean, there's nothing worse than if you've ever been to a presentation and people get out PowerPoint slides because straight away I think, oof. Yawn. Unless it's something really clever to kind of add and demonstrate, then I'm all for it. But otherwise, you kind of, I think we're so used to being disengaged. We watch TV while we're on our phones and we're on a different website at the same time. So we're second screening all the time. I think we just kind of need engaging more. And if you ever go and speak to someone or if there's someone you have a certain rapport or a certain charm, like Chris Hollins, you can't ignore that. And you just kind of are drawn to people who have that real sort of amazing quality and motivational technique towards what they say. I think diction has a lot to do with it, and clarity. And you know, it doesn't matter if you've got that nervous energy, that can actually help and it can make you even better on the day. But I think it's, yeah, he's practicing those skills.
Ben, any thoughts?
Well, I completely agree, and I think, you know, being at university, I think you kind of experience similar situations. I've done a year out as well, so again, I've seen what meetings can be like as well in the real world, and I think the what you say resonates quite well. The fact that I think for me personally, I prefer someone who's really actively engaged and someone who wants to talk there and wants to almost has a passion. You can feel the passion behind the person speaking. There's nothing worse than someone reading off a PowerPoint that you could basically read yourself. And
in some cases, you can't read the PowerPoint because he puts so much information on the PowerPoint that you can't even see it. Exactly.
Well, exactly. But you need to have someone who's actively engaged and happy and wants to be there to teach you that because you need to
passion. You need passion.
Exactly. I think you need to have a good interaction there between not just the person reading it, but people taking it in as well. The people need to be actually engaged.
This is clearly why we will be an award-winning team of communications people that will take over from Richard Newman, even though he has actually run with Body Talk Consultancy since 2000 and has actually taught more than 50,000 people from 45 countries. It's wonderful.
Wow.
He's on the programme tomorrow morning, though, as indeed is Ian Lennox, Richard Fitzwilliam, Stephanie Gramaszewski, Gabriella Peralta, Victoria Stakelin, Lisa Minot, Alice Living, and a boater, as a boater, as in a sailing yachtsperson, who's also going to be joining us as well, from a taxi, no less, because she's in between interviews for... Because she couldn't actually get to the studio because she's between Sky Sports and another Sky...
We've had that before with Dr... What's the...
Hillary Jones?
Yes, that's it. Yes. Embarrassing Bodies.
Well, that as well. You know, I don't think Hillary's ever done embarrassing, but anyway.
She did in back of the taxi.
We're not name-dropping here. Actually, we are still. It's 25 and a half minutes past 6 o'clock. We're not sure whether Phil Leonis will be contacting us via Skype. Probably not, because as he said himself when he was in Washington, D.C., he can only do one thing at a time. Particularly, he's getting married later on this year, in February, no less. Mm-hmm. Which reminds me, Eva, I must ask you to sign a... don't let me... Yeah, we'll have it in the morning, perhaps. Right, yeah. But we also have to ask Rachel Teat those last two questions. Eva, would you like to ask one of them, and then Ben can ask the other one?
Yes, I think so. Okay, so have you had an interesting telephonic link with us today, Rachel?
I have indeed. It's been a cracking start to 2019.
Oh, of course.
And we haven't employed any words that Jacob will be embarrassed about or would cause you embarrassed about by actually sort of repeating
thing tomorrow. I've tried very hard to keep it as PC as possible.
Of course, of course. Very good, because, you know, we don't want to go down the line of Rachel Pottymouth Teat, not on a 6 o'clock break. It's not appropriate at all. Really.
I think the worst I say is, oh dear.
Oh,
I'm
my.
I know. Yes. I'm so, like, chilled.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
That's why sometimes he says things and I think, where have you learnt that?
It's like Mary Poppins, the Teesside version. It's even more wonderful.
Yeah, Teesside Mary Poppins.
In fact, actually, a Teesside Mary Poppins has got to be a line that we can actually develop, I'm sure, from that point of view.
We could do.
There's a missing gap in the market there.
I think so. Having seen the movie, certainly.
There's a new opening.
Very much so.
And, Rachel, will you be joining us again sometime soon, perhaps next week?
You will have me back. Mm. I will be with you.
Clearly, we might have to shift onto a Thursday morning because she'll be tap dancing on a Wednesday, you see.
Yes.
So we might have to sort of negotiate various other bits and pieces on that basis. Meanwhile, Doris Day or Andy Williams, which one floats your boat? If you say neither, that's perfectly okay. We can give you another choice.
Oh, is it going to be just too good to be true?
No, it was going to be either Happy Heart or Move Over Darling, but, you know...
It was too good to be true, though. You are correct.
Clearly, yes. Yeah.
I go for Doris Day, then.
You're going to go for Doris Day. Well, that's okay, then.
Our lips shouldn't touch.
Move over, darling.
I like it too much. Big surprise anymore, 'cause you fooled me before. I'm all in a spin.
Move over, darling.
About to give in.
Move over, darling.
And though it's not right, I'm too weak to fight it somehow, 'cause I want you right now. You sigh as me waving my conscience bye-bye. You can call me a fickle thing, but I'm practically yours forever, because
you're to be kissed.
Move over, darling.
How can I resist?
Move.
10:30 a.m. in L.A. can only mean it's time for the Midweek Drive team to welcome their top Californian cultural correspondent, Phil Leonis, back for another segment of Cultural Perspicacity.
And what is the time in L.A. at this particular moment in time when it's 6:30 p.m. in England, Phil Leonis?
It's time for me to hurry the hell up and find my notes for the show.
You see, after last year, where he was scurrilously saying that each week it was getting closer to 22, 30, you know, we weren't getting there. I thought this time around, New Year's resolution, it says 6:30. Darn it, we'll make it 6:30. UK
I
time.
Know. You know what my New Year's resolution should have been? To find out what perspicacity means.
Hmm. Well, there's always 2020. That's the important thing. Never too late.
Hindsight is just that.
Precisely. Always 2020. And, of course, looking towards that, he'll be a married man next year.
Oh,
yeah.
I will be.
Whoa. It's quite
exciting. We hope. Look, don't assume anything, you know. I mean,
we don't want some sort of EastEnders ending to the wedding, though, do we?
No, so, definitely not.
Oh, it won't happen. Honestly, it's like...
You know, I show up at the post box every day hoping to see... you know, a card with a UK postal stamp on it. But nothing.
It will be there. Things. I'm just the strategy, the strategic workings of the whole thing. We felt we'd get through the Christmas period, and then suddenly the magical things will happen. So, Phil, have you managed to catch any of the production, or is it a case of no? Don't be silly. I'm doing too many important things, focusing on Chilpack Hollywood Hour number 609. After, of course, last week's 69-minute episode, 69-minute installment of Chilpack Hollywood, talking about. No, it's not a euphemism. Don't worry, Eva. We stepped away. From the splendidly smutty dictionary of sex that we had earlier in the production, for obvious reasons. But what would you tell us, Phil?
Well, Dean and I have begun to pre-record some interviews and some other segments, as you do occasionally from time to time, for Midweek Drive. Partly it's important because we do have some big events coming up and we want to make sure that we have shows planned, but also... just taking advantage, right, of the opportunity to talk to different people, why not just take a few minutes to record interviews with them? So it can get a little confusing. As evidenced by my entry to the Breakfast Club this morning, where I marched right up to a beloved member of the club and said, "You write me every week about my show. I finally talk about something that directly involves you and I hear nothing." And he was really racking his brain trying to figure out what it was. And I was very frustrated with him until I realized, oh, right, that episode hasn't aired yet.
So I was a bad person.
That's a story about me being a bad person.
Unbelievable. They will say that. It's unbelievable. They couldn't possibly have Phil Leonis as a bad person. William Sitwell, on the other hand, easily done. But he's come back. He's resumed himself. He's got a front cover. Look, he's a cover boy. Eva McDonald, see William Sitwell. In glorious technical there. And he will be back with us next Thursday on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, because this week he's skiing. That's okay. It's important.
Oh, well, you know, when you called me, not only on time, but 2 minutes early, I naturally thought, who cancelled?
Nobody cancelled. We don't know what's happened to Anna Lewis. Somebody lost in London. But other than that, William Coles, yes. Simon Leyland, yes. Sir Ranulph Fine, yes. Taryn Kay, yes. Rachel Teed, yes. Eva McDonald, yes. Ben Lewis, yes. Even though Eva actually was slightly delayed by the huge constructions.
Exactly. Outside.
So many construction things are obviously being built for when Phil and Lily actually make it back to the United Kingdom to actually engage in the whole thing. We've changed the entire road system so I can spend even more time going around the wrong way in a way.
Oh, but by then it will be the right way.
Well,
it will have
exactly.
changed so much. I know engineers, they love to change things. Alex, I have not listened to the show, so forgive me if you've regaled us with these stories, but I know that listening audiences on both sides of the Atlantic are dying to know, what did you do on New Year's Eve?
On New Year's Eve, I think I might have done a couple of essay marking things and watched the final part of season 5 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Nick Fury's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., or rather Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. without Nick Fury, because clearly it's more Agent Coulson's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I've caught up completely with that. Oh. I've now seen all 5 seasons worth of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Very exciting in Middlesbrough it was. And, of course, I sent a Happy New Year text to Eva McDonald because I thought, what the
heck? Did indeed, and I was very grateful.
Well, not one to me, though.
Sorry, might
we add?
Drop you in there again.
Might we add?
There were so many midweek drivers, in the end I just thought, I'll send it to Eva.
All that loyalty, and I still haven't got a text saying Happy New Year.
You've got a calendar. Mind you, Eva's got a calendar. Where's your calendar?
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
Where's my calendar? Yes. It's at home. It's up on the wall.
Oh, yeah. I haven't received a calendar, that's for sure. And Alex, did you have a good birthday?
Yes, again, very positive. Decided to go and see Mary Poppins Returns. So in the absolutely outstanding comfort, and I say this again, I was so impressed with the comfort of the newly refurbished, yes, I'll give it a name check, Showcase Cinema in Teesside. That I even sought out the manager and said, this is extraordinarily wonderful. It is the most wonderful cinematic experience I've ever had in terms of legroom, comfort, everything else. It's, quite frankly, the best cinematic experience ever. And the movie was good as well.
And what's the name of that theater again?
That would be Showcase.
Showcase Cinema. Oh. And this, of course, is the Midweek Drive, brought to you by the Showcase Cinema in Teesside.
If only, yes, but still. Now maybe we need obviously, your wonderful sponsorship team to actually work on the whole process to develop that side of things.
My sponsors have to be non-existent, or we can't work on them. But that, where is Teesside?
Well,
for those of us who don't know.
Well said, sir. Well said. Ben, would you like to explain where Teesside happens to be for the non-English listener?
Up north.
Specifically, 40 miles south of Newcastle-upon-Tyne and 26 miles south of Sunderland, 12 miles south of Hartlepool. That would be great.
How do you know this off the top of your head?
Many a time spent doing the A19 journeys up and down here.
Northeast, though, Phil, just to summarise that for you, it's the northeast.
And about 40 miles north of York.
And should I be impressed that he's converting kilometres into miles for me? Or is that a thing that's on all the signs?
Listen, with the B word happening and people confused about whether you're out of Europe, etc., we've never quite gone the full kilometres way. You know, let's stay with the traditional imperial measurements. Only a matter of time before we actually return to pounds, shillings and pence, I'm sure. And then with 240 pennies to the pound, we'll find conversion rates so much simpler with the metric systems of the rest of the continent.
Hey, I'm curious, given the fact that we, quite frankly, will probably within 2 years' time, less than 2 years' time, have a president named Pence, is there any way you might change the name of your currency so I can hear that name a little less often?
It's a thought, but is only a thought at this particular moment in time because we don't know what's happening in our current political situation either.
We really don't.
I know.
It's the uncertainty that makes life interesting. It's the unknown that defines our existence.
As Dr. Marilyn Schlitz of the Institute of Noetic Sciences said in my film, The Truth is Out There, if you're finding yourself confused, that's exactly the place to be in.
So do you feel that with respect to the Golden Globes and the surprising wins for Queen and Bohemian Rhapsody and so on, I mean, I think it's fair to say Richard Fitzwilliams is going to be beside himself tomorrow. He does want to suddenly speak about that.
There's loads going on in the world.
The movies that were awarded, not all of them, I don't want to paint them all with this brush. I mean, Roma got awards and that's extraordinary. But it was one of those shows that was even more extraordinarily aggravating than ever because this organization is so corrupt, historically corrupt. I mean, it's 73 individuals who can famously have their votes bought. They have no rules against being given gifts, et cetera. And the movies that they will sometime honor, like Dean and I went through a chart basically of the 50 best movies of the year that were released according to critics. And, like, you will find movies that they give awards to that aren't even in sniffing distance of the list of the top 50 or 100 best movies of the year. They will nominate things, well, I mean, famously, right, Pia Zadora winning a Golden Globe for Best Actress. They're just infuriating. But this year, in all years, to honor a film directed by a man who is on the run from the law for sexual assault crimes just seems to be so tone deaf. I just don't understand it. But it's going to be staggering how I feel like many of the winners, certainly many of the nominees, but many of the winners from the Golden Globes won't even show up in the Oscar list.
Okay, interesting. But I did detect a slight sign of, I suppose, bemusement there. Eva, have you ever heard of Pia Zadora?
No, I've not. No.
Well, she was born on May the 4th, 1954, in Hoboken, New Jersey, USA. She was an American actress and singer. After working as a child actress on Broadway, in regional theatre, and in the film Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. What's not to love?
That does sound like a crazy
exactly. I've never heard of any of these films.
She came to national attention in 1981 when, following her starring role in the highly criticised Butterfly, she won a Golden Globe Award as New Star of the Year.
As if by magic.
Exactly. Wow. That was back in 1981. Since then, not a great deal, it has to be said, although maybe we should invite her onto the show. Who knows what could actually happen with respect to that. But she was keen to actually take Frank Sinatra's advice, who always encouraged her to sing the standards and perform the American songbook. She's now recorded an album of just that. Indeed, you can go to the Pia Zadora official site, piazadora.com. There we are, Phil. That's the kind of the end notes and the footnotes to Pia Zadora. As you can see, currently appearing at Pia's Place on Fridays and Saturdays, which is a restaurant at Las Vegas in the convention centre. So with Sonny Childs also appearing there. Thank you for that, Phil.
Wow, that's more about Pia Zadora than anyone ever thought they would hear. Even the Golden Globes did not think anyone would be talking about Pia Zadora that much after they gave her the award. So congratulations. I can't wait for the entire podcast you and I do as part of the Culture Shaper series about Pia Zadora.
Which will be featuring her new CD, which was released last year.
All
or Nothing at All. There we are. So All or Nothing at All. Pia Zadora.
Should have been Nothing at All, I think.
Because I excel at wonderful segues, let's talk about William Shatner for a moment. Did you hear that he has a new country western album?
It's a reveal I've been keeping back from Tessa Snart because I know she will be overwhelmed with excitement at William Shatner, whose book, of course, I was very keen to read over the holiday period, and have waded my way through his classic example of literature routines. But the fact that he's back in the studio is even more wonderful, and I thank you, Phil, for reminding us that after Shatner Clause...
On February 15th, he debuts selections from his country album, and I've heard the album, and it's really quite good. And on February 15th, he debuts it at the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville. And Dean and I were actually invited to be there, but a bachelor party in Los Angeles takes precedence.
Wow. Still, it just goes to show that at the end of the day, William Shatner, late 80s, and still actually producing the magic is well worth the live long and what I learned along the way is the sort of text that is his recent line of things. And I'd say it's well worth accessing. In fact, Ben, to be fair, I was nip and tuck between Shane Rimmer's autobiography and the William Shatner one. In the end, I thought, well, you've spoken to Shane Rimmer.
Shane Rimmer.
Well worth sort of working through that.
One of my... Did you have a good Christmas, Phil? Was it a very good Christmas and New Year for you?
In California?
It was, well, thank you for asking. I had a wonderful holiday season. I, of course, spent the weeks leading up to it on the East Coast, and it was blissful. It was exactly what I needed. And I traveled back to Los Angeles on Christmas Eve. I adore traveling on actually Christmas Eve or Christmas Day because everyone is in such a good mood. On the plane, they had actually decorated it with lights and they had a little Christmas tree in the back, for crying out loud.
A Christmas tree in the plane.
On the plane,
they never have those U.S. Marshals in the sky anyway these days. It's great.
Well, the government had already shut down here. I don't know if you've read about this, but our government's shut down.
If he'd only let Donald have his wall, you wouldn't have this problem with federal government shutting down.
We love that. We do love that we have to shut this down because it's a matter of a national emergency involving safety at the border. So what better way to send that message than by defunding the organization that protects the border? But I digress. So the government shut down, and what that means is, for example, our airport safety people, our TSA people, our air marshals, our air traffic controllers, if they are showing up to work, they are working unpaid. So I have a feeling there aren't any air marshals right now, and maybe I shouldn't say that because that might send the wrong message.
Exactly.
But I do know that the security in the airports, they're really undermanned because people are just calling in sick. And why wouldn't you? You're sick of working without getting paid. So anyway, but still, people were in a great mood. It was wonderful. And then Christmas, I got to be alone with my beloved cat, Fuzz Aldrin, 1 year to the day after she and I both succumbed to pneumonia. And we were both feeling great. We're both healthier than we have ever been. So it just felt like the perfect way 1 year later to spend the Christmas in celebration.
365 days. Eva, would you like to read the first two paragraphs there with respect to William Shatner's text, Live Long and What I Learned Along the Way?
I will. So it says, Star Trek legend and veteran author William Shatner discusses the meaning of life, finding value in work and living well whatever your age. And I have always felt, William Shatner says early in his newest memoir, that like the great comedian George Burns, who lived to 100, I couldn't die as long as I was booked. And Shatner is always booked.
Exactly. You can
always.
Never die as long as you're booked. And Shatner, like Philinus, always booked. Thank you, Phil.
That's actually a really good point. I mean, I look up and I'm astonished by how much time has gone by. But there's so much on the calendar. There's so much to do. Yeah. One can't really, in the moment, be aware of the passing time so much. And I think that somehow feels healthy, and it does feel... a little bit like a bulletproof shield from ever having to die. And look, as you know, Alex, I'm not sold that death does come to everyone. Most of the people I've known in my life have not died. So that might not be scientific, but I know that it's true.
Interesting point. Those that have, of course, who knows what went wrong. Never mind. Life continues.
Exactly.
Would you like... You Do Something to Me, The Changing Man, or Have You Made Up Your Mind, Please, Phil Leonis?
I'm gonna throw you a curve, I think, because You Do Something to Me was one of the Paul Weller songs that really hit in the States, but I prefer Have You Made Up Your Mind.
Well, then this'll take us round to the final questions.
There's a look in your eyes. I see a glint of smile on your face, but I know that smile ain't mine. How a fool begins. How a fool begins. They say everything has a place and time, but this ain't one of those times. Something in the air, just don't know what, don't know why. What a fool I've been. What a fool I've been. You made up your mind.
Have
you made up my mind for me?
Made up your mind.
Made up my mind for me. when morning comes. I feel it in my bones. Just don't know where my feet will go. What a fool I've been. Oh, what a fool I've been. Place for everything, but this ain't one of those times. What a fool I've been. Oh, what a fool I've been. Weekly Chill Pack Hollywood podcasts, monthly Los Angeles Breakfast Club shows, a cat called, yep, Fuzz Aldrin, and partner to the awesome Lily Holman. Just some of the co-creations filmmaker Phil Leonis brings to the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive morning editions.
So I felt it's important to ensure that he's welcomed back formally for the 2019 season by lots of suitably composed and constructed idents.
Well, it makes me feel like a really big deal.
But you are, Phil. That's the important thing. In case you're wondering, Anna Lewis had an optical appointment this morning and clean forgot about the show because she had her phone on silent. Never mind, Anna. Hopefully you'll be back next week.
Since people enjoy production meetings on the air, I wouldn't have made it through 12 years of podcasting without that being true. Let me point out that I will be unavailable for the Midweek Drive until January 30th.
Unbelievable.
Oh, dear. That's what you going to do?
That said, I do need to check in with my friend Richard Fitzwilliams. Mm-hmm. And so looking at the calendar, I'm going to suggest that you book me for the Midweek Drive morning edition of Thursday morning, January 24th.
Okay.
So that Richard and I can discuss...
Have the show, really?
...the Oscar... nomination.
Are we talking about that legendary third annual Leonis Fitzwilliams challenge that we actually introduced 2 years ago?
Well, we'll do the challenge, but I think on the 24th, it will be important for he and I to have it out about the nominations themselves. Before we make predictions, you know that both of us will have, no doubt, certain selections, certain omissions that upset us. Perhaps we will console each other. Perhaps we will enrage each other, but I think it makes for spectacular radio. Well, am I wrong?
It's fair to say that Ben Lewis actually managed to get Richard Fitzwilliams to commit two heinous acts, which I never thought would ever occur at all when you decided to seek him out over the festive period.
Yeah, well, I met him last week. It was very nice, actually. Very nice meeting. Really, really enjoyed catching up with Richard. Although, one thing, I mean, we were discussing the new Lion King film, it's live animation. I'm sure you're aware of it, Phil. He hadn't seen the trailer yet, and I had. And
he doesn't like trailers.
No, but the funny thing was, I got to get him to
watch
the
trailer.
He, in fact, wanted to see the trailer.
Unbelievable.
And then, second of all, it was on my phone.
On his portable device. Well,
I suppose it's not the same as watching a film. But,
it's a double whammy for Richard Fitzwilliams, he said he'd never do. Watch trailers.
I suppose it's a one-off
on a small screen. Well, I shall have words with him tomorrow morning when we talk about that, certainly. But yes, I think that would work out splendidly. Normally, back in the day, I'm talking about the early part of teenies, Phil would always have people who are ready and willing to actually step into his shoes, etc. These days, with his impending nuptials, probably can't be bothered. But anyway, that's all right.
Everyone is so busy in the planning, you know?
Yeah, it's okay. January the 30th, hey? Okay, January 24th is the Thursday when you'll be back. Okay. Okay, that pretty much answers the last two questions, but what the hey, would you like to deliver them in any case, Ben and Eva?
Do you go first?
Okie dokie. So, Phil, have you had an interesting telephonic link with us today?
You know what my favourite part was?
What's your favourite part?
You saying the word memoir.
Memoir. Oh, gosh.
Memoir.
It's true. It's true. Wasn't that outstanding? Wasn't that outstanding?
Well.
Don't we kind of... I mean, can we just have her record all of Jasper's biography so that we can enjoy it that way?
See, I'm the deliverer of memoir. And what was it? Pasty?
Pasty.
Oh, gosh.
Epic. No, I think it's spectacular. It's spectacular.
I've got my own dictionary.
And yes. The rest of the telephonic link was enjoyable as well.
Good.
Good. And will you join us again next week?
No.
No.
But no. I will talk to you, hopefully, on January 30th.
Yes.
I was just saying everyone's awake then.
Yeah, yeah. Sort of
January the 30th.
And I look forward to my Oscar smackdown with Richard Fitzwilliam on the morning of January 24th. And now, if you'll excuse me, I need to go wait for the mailman, hoping that a RSVP card from the United Kingdom arrives in the mail today.
I was very impressed with that, and the calligraphy was absolutely awesome. It was very impressive because another invitation to the wedding of the century was actually provided. I say that quite deliberately because I know that Leland's Halloween event will be the wedding of the century. But we'll just have to sort of package something together in some way, shape or form. That's it. Thanks to Anna Lewis. Well, actually, thanks, Anna. Be well, Anna. William Cole, Simon Leyland, Saran Alfine, Taryn Kay, Rachel Teat, Phil Dearness, Eva McDonald, Ben Lewis. Can we all say... what should we say, Eva?
Well, it's the first one of 2019. Could say Happy New Year.
All right, let's say it. One, two, three.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. You said fire tomorrow.